Chapter 9, Sister Saren. Finn, Bounce, and I spent the remainder of the day traveling through London with Derek at the wheel, sightseeing. Bounce had insisted on sitting in the middle of the back seat since she was the shortest. I was thankful for the space from Finn so I could concentrate. We drove through the grounds of King's College just to see if any buildings looked familiar. They did, but not in a way that excited anyone. Walking to class in my dormitory were all images I recalled early on. Bounce's phone went off, surprising us. After hanging up, Bounce said, "Raven wants everyone to come over for a Colombian dinner tonight to welcome you back. When we finish up here, she asked me to pick up some wine and then ordered me to get home and help her." Bounce checked her watch for the time. "Huh, well, that's certainly unexpected," Finn stated. "Why?" I had to ask, since they seemed suspicious of her. "Just a tad domestic for her. I'll give Brinks a call and let him know." After lunch, we took Bounce to a wine shop on St. James Street. Though Finn tried hard to get me to stop at the grocery for a box of wine, thinking that would be hilarious, I wanted to buy something Raven would appreciate. Thomas, the very enthusiastic wine enthusiast at the counter, took us over to the Spanish Reds. I selected 3 bottles of the 2005 Contino per his recommendation. After dropping Bounce off at her scooter, Finn asked as he slipped back into the car, "Would you like to see my boat?" "Sure." I wasn't exactly sure, really. I'd been very aware of Finn all day, and being alone with him on a boat made me nervous. He ignored the trepidation in my voice and told Derek to take him home. St. Catherine Marina appeared to be very popular with upscale shops and trendy restaurants overlooking the water. Finn explained his boat was located in the center basin, not off the private dock. He didn't seem to want me to think some of the yachts we passed were anything to gauge his by. After walking past several, I spotted his. "Finn, I hate to break it to you, but it is technically a yacht." I walked over to the side, waiting for him to catch up. He stopped abruptly, a stunned look on his face. "Evelyn, how did you know this was my boat?" Finn placed his hand on my shoulder, bending to look me in the eyes. I spoke slowly, not even understanding myself how I knew. "Your boat's named the Sister Saren." Suddenly I remembered. He had named the boat after the nun who was kind to him at the orphanage in Ireland. I looked back at him, mirroring his amazement, and then checked the end of the boat again to make sure I'd gotten it right. "The nun who helped you at the orphanage. You named the boat for her. I remember you telling me about her." A smile spread across my face. It was such a relief to have a clear memory of him and know that more was possible. It felt like a huge weight had been lifted from me. Finally, after years of waiting, things were starting to come back to life. "You're exactly right." He picked me up and spun me around while I tried to see if there was anything else I could recall. There was just the name and feeling thankful for a nun who took pity on a boy. Finn put me down on the ground and I stayed close to him, laying my head against his chest. I didn't know how to express how immensely happy I was. We stood there holding each other silently. Before our closeness could become problematic, I stepped back, beaming up at him. "You were right to bring me here. Thank you again for the 100th time. Let's go on board." The Sister Saren resembled a state-of-the-art blunt-nosed tugboat. Finn wrinkled his nose at my observation. "You can cross an ocean in a Nordhaven. That was my primary requirement. I bought it used off an old couple from Dover about 4 years ago," he explained as we took in a scene off the bow. From St. Catherine Marina, you could see the Tower Bridge with the Tower of London just beyond. Standing silently next to him, listening to the water break against the boat, it finally felt like I was in England, like my history with them had actually been real. I was a thief, a dropout from Boston University who didn't go home and remarkably made friends with a band of outcasts. Clearly, by most people's standards, I'd fallen in with the wrong crowd back then, but these people meant something to me just the same. I didn't remember everything, but as I took Finn's hand, staring out over old London, I began to embrace it. After a full tour, we stopped on the back deck, taking a seat as the sun began its fast descent. Finn got us a couple of beers, and I asked him for what must have been the second time in our friendship, the details of his youth. Orphan life wasn't for me, Evie. After a particularly harsh punishment, Sister Saren placed 20 pounds in my hand and told me she had a friend, Seamus, who worked on the O'Gorman, and to go to the Cork docks and ask for him. A week later, I got up the nerve to run, but I never found the boat. I slept at the docks in an empty shipping container. I was frightened, but it was far better than the cot in the orphanage, unbelievably so. My lot had improved considerably in my eyes. I started working odd jobs for almost nothing, then met a few people who found theft to be a good way to make a shilling or two. After pickpocketing and burglary, I tried my luck at fishing boats. I got a taste for the sea and the freedom. I was going out regularly off the Italian coast in Bagnara, Calabria. After a couple years, I met a woman and some other Italians that were interested in fencing artwork. We hit a few galleries successfully. I came home one day to find that she and the money were gone. I traveled into Rome, hoping to meet up with some other thieves I'd heard of. Soon, a friend of ours took me in and made the intro. He clapped his hands together, indicating story time was over. Why have you stayed together all this time? From the expression on his face, it seemed a more difficult question to answer. I imagine because we were young, without many to rely on. Trust amongst thieves is rare, but we had it for each other. Anyway, being together was more fun than striking out on our own. We got better working together, and Ari's contacts made it all more exciting. Stealing cars and knocking over low-rent jewelry stores are never going to be enough for any of us again. Finn laughed and strode over into the galley. What contacts? What's so great about them? After a small pause, let's wait for Ari. Some things are just better coming from him. Do you want another beer? Finn glanced over at me. If we're going to a dinner party, I should probably get back to the room and change. He took my hand as we disembarked and walked silently toward the car. Finn put me into the back seat, letting Derek and I know I needed to be picked up at 7 and taken to Raven's. He bent down and gave me a kiss on the cheek. I thought about a little boy with only 20 pounds in his hand, setting off on his own to conquer Ireland as we drove back to the hotel in silence. Once alone in my room, I went over all I had learned so far. Their stories were much sadder than mine. I'd been raised by parents that cared for me, and though stale and suffocating, my life had been a good one. The one thing my new friends and I seemed to have in common was that what we'd been born into wasn't enough. I was never able to explain it well, but the life I was living as a child and young adult felt like a half-life. Maybe all of this had made me whole in the past. Perhaps it had taken something exciting with an element of danger to wake me up.